It is 9:31. Time now to talk with Larry Weber. What's going on outdoors?
Oh, it's just been amazing. I think you have probably noticed what I have noticed, that was the word is clear.
We've
had continuously clear skies for several days now, and the temperatures be very summerish. We had 2 days in a row where we got over 80 degrees here, and that gets a little bit warm, and that's going to continue, I guess, the next couple of days, but supposed to be cooling after that. The equinox is just 2 weeks from today, and so, this weather has still been summerish, but we are heading towards fall. Probably the most obvious is the shorter days. We are now less than 13 hours of daylight. I hope you had a chance last night to see that fascinating waxing gibbous moon, really large and bright. Well, that's going to continue the next couple nights. The full moon is on the night of the 12th. Other things of note, we are getting to the shorter days. We're getting some migration. Hawk Ridge had an interesting situation happen on Sunday, just a week ago. They set a record for the most sharp-shinned hawks ever come across in one day. There was over 1,800 of them. What's fascinating about that record is that sharp-shinned hawks show up virtually every day between the time they start in mid-August until late October, virtually every day. When I was teaching there and taking my students to Hawk Ridge, we never had a time where I did not see sharp-shinned hawks. They come across on a regular basis. And they've been doing the counts there for over 50 years. And then to have one day that just recently that stood out as the most sharp-shinned hawks in any one single day is quite a fascinating occurrence. Usually clear days at Hawk Ridge, the count it really isn't that high because you just don't see them very well. They fly real high. I always like the better cloudy, cool, windy days as being the best. And we may be getting some of that. The hawk weekend is coming up next weekend. Other things of note, I've seen flocks of geese this week, flocks of goldfinches, and flocks of blue jays all moving along to the south. Warblers continue to move through the woods. I saw several kinds again this week. And the sparrows are starting to show up. White-throat sparrows at first, and now some chipping sparrows, and I expect to see more. As we get towards October, the sparrow diversity and flocks get a lot greater. In addition to that, there's other kinds of migration that's going on. I was out biking on the Munger Trail several days this week, and I saw snakes going across, usually garter snakes and red belly snakes. Easiest to see in the autumn and spring is because they are doing a migration of their own. They winter at certain sites, and they go out for the rest of the summer, but when it gets chilly, they locate those, go back to find those sites once again, and to get there, they often have to cross roads, and as in my case, the Munger Trail. So it's a pretty good time to see them. And monarch. Monarch is an example of an insect that migrates. They're not the only one. We get the green darners, dragonflies that also migrate. But yesterday I had an experience of seeing a monarch along the side of a trail, and then as I watched, it took flight. It started getting higher and higher and higher and started to circle up when it got really high and then took off to the south. I was thinking that right there in front of me, I was seeing some of the migration. Plenty of other insects out there. The grasshoppers are abundant right now, maybe in the highest population as they are anytime. The females are laying eggs at this point. The locust, which is a large grasshopper, will take wing, and you scare a grasshopper, they hop. If you scare a locust, they fly.
Mm.
The wings of the locust can be confused with wings of butterflies, and I think a lot of times when somebody sees what they think is a butterfly at this time, they're really seeing one of these locusts. There's also katydids. I came across the fascinating katydid one night this week on evening walk when I caught it, took a look at it, like a long green grasshopper. Real long, skinny head. The scientific name of that particular katydid is Conocephalus, and when you break the word down, it means conehead. That lives up to its name. Cicadas are still calling. Crickets are still calling. Lots and lots of bumblebees. The roadside goldenrod, I hope you have a chance to stop and take a look at it. The Canada goldenrod, that's our common goldenrod. It grows 3 to 4 feet high in big groups, big clumps. I think they're clones. They are just terrific right now. They are in their peak. They're absolutely beautiful. And they're not only a good thing to look at, they are a good thing to listen to. Get out and walk close to them. And you hear all the movement of the insects there. There's a lot of people out there who are worried that they have an allergy to goldenrod, and goldenrod gets blamed for what is really caused by ragweed. Mm. Now, I won't get into the whole story right now, but goldenrod pollen is not what causes hay fever. You can be allergic to anything, and there probably are people who are allergic to goldenrod, but for the most part, no, it usually is not. It's absolutely safe. And it's just a great thing. I tell anybody who's willing to listen, I tell them, don't let the summer pass by without getting out there and taking a close look at these goldenrod patches. They are just terrific with auto activity going on. And when that happens, you have a lot of the opportunists. I've been out a couple of mornings this week to take a look at the spider webs in the dew. I hope you had a chance to do that. They are just excellent. One of the places I went was along a lake, and in one tree I counted no less than 30 of these orb webs in a mm-hmm. single tree that had fallen down. In addition to that, we are getting leaf color. Now, we don't have quite the leaf color in our area as you do. I was up a little over a week ago, not far from your place there, and I noticed all the color that was going on. We don't quite have that color yet, but we're starting to get it. I especially noticed it this week with the red of the sumac, red of the red maple, red of Virginia creeper, yellow of willow, yellow of birch, and yellow of the black ash. So it is getting there, and it's getting there pretty fast. And with this weather we're having right now, which besides being warm and clear, is also dry, that may be even speeding it along. It's also, it may be speeding that, but it's slowing down something else, and that is the mushrooms. The mushrooms are a little less now than they were a week to 10 days ago. They're still out there, but they're not quite as plentiful as they were, thanks to the less of the moisture. And then, of course, you have to pass on two other comments. One of them was I was sitting in my backyard one day this week, and I was just listening to the acorns falling. Yeah, they're getting ripe now, along with the apples, and the acorns were falling. And then on a walk one day earlier this week, I found a woolly bear caterpillar. Now, woolly bear caterpillar is a caterpillar of a type of moth. When winter comes, they curl up under a leaf, and they spend the whole winter as a caterpillar. Therefore, we often see them moving around in fall. Well, the story goes, the blacker they are, they're a combination of black and brown. And the story goes, the blacker they are, the colder the winter. Well, you'll be glad to know that this one was almost completely black.
Okay.
All right, well, enjoy the weekend, and thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. Talk to you next week. Larry Weber joins us every Saturday on North Shore Weekend at about 9:30. Larry's retired from a 40-year career as a science teacher. He taught students from 7th grade up to the graduate school. His awards include Minnesota Secondary Science Teacher of the Year in 1993 and National Biology Teacher Association's Middle School Life Science Teacher of the Year in 1998. He writes a weekly phenology column for a local newspaper and presents his phenology updates on WTIP. He's a regular contributor to Minnesota Conservation Volunteer as well. He's from Carlton. What a guy.